south of the border, down Mexico way. That's where I fell in love when the stars above came out to play. And now as I wander...
Hello there, all you expat wannabes. I'm Johnny Mueller, and you're listening to The Expat Files, Living in Latin America, the show that tells you just what it's like to live, work, play, and or retire down here in Latin America. It's a mix of the good, the bad, the ugly, and the great, and it's all right here, so let's get started.
You know, getting that plan B going, getting the hell out of Dodge, is one of the biggest moves you'll make in your life. One of the most important decisions you'll ever make. For some people, a lot of people, it could be pretty scary, though exciting along the way, too. And one of the questions I get so often is, what percentage of expat gringos actually end up staying, that is, living in Latin America permanently for the rest of their lives? Or, to put it another way, what are the chances you'll return to Cleveland with your tail between your legs? Wouldn't that be embarrassing? You'd have to suffer all the slings and arrows from your family and friends who said, I told you so. And then you might wonder how many gringo expats stay in Latin America, even if they don't like it all that much, just because they don't want to face those I told you so's back in Cleveland. So on that note today, I want to thank listener Harry P. from Lansing, Michigan, who sent me this brand new article entitled, Why Do Expats Go Home? Now, as far as my opinion of this article, one big takeaway is that expats can be pretty good liars. Let's see what you think. Here goes. And I'll paraphrase this as usual to cut out the boring parts. It says, according to a survey by the London School of Economics, the average time a gringo expat spends overseas is about 3 years before going home. Although some move to another expat location, they will spend less time in that second location than in the first. Nevertheless, a good proportion of expats who leave their country permanently, at least that's their initial intent, to leave permanently, they end up returning home. It says the survey focused on British, Canadian, and Australian expats, but the data squares with American expats too. It also says the average time frame for expats living in Southeast Asia is much shorter than expats living in Latin America, places like Ecuador, Mexico, Costa Rica, and Panama. In other words, for expats who throw in the towel and go back home, they last longer in Latin American countries than they do in Asian countries. All right, me, Johnny here. I think I can guess why. For first world expats in Asia, it's a huge culture clash. You're never accepted. Not really, even if you know the language. Whereas in Latin America, the cultural divide is not so severe. And if you learn the language, you can actually hang with and be accepted by the locals. But let's press on with the article. It goes on to say, in exploring the reasons for why expats return to their home countries, they found that many of those leaving have a cover story for their departure that isn't often exactly correct. They're not completely forthright about their underlying reasons. Turns out they disguise their real reasons for leaving so they don't appear to be failures to other expats as well as to friends and family members in reference to that persistent and sometimes annoying I told you so crowd back home. Turns out that no matter what part of the world expats end up throwing in the towel, their cover stories are usually similar. The excuses are generally the same. Like, for example, mom and dad are sick back home and they need me there. That one tops the list. Or there's an employment opportunity back in Nebraska that just can't be passed up. They called me. I wasn't looking for it. And they gave me an offer I just couldn't refuse. And here's a familiar one. Our daughter or son is going through a difficult divorce and needs our support. Then there's always that family tragedy excuse. So-and-so in the family died and we need to sort out the will and the property. I have to go back for an indeterminate amount of time. I'm the executor of the state. I didn't ask for it, but they selected me. And another very common excuse for the older gringo crowd is this one. Martha and I just didn't realize how much we'd miss the grandkids. All right, me, Johnny, chiming in on that one. To me, that's the lamest excuse of all, but gringos use it all the time. Come on, you're going to ditch that plan B you've been thinking about all your life for a few hours a week with your entitled, snot-nosed grandkids who much prefer swiping on TikTok to looking at your wrinkly mug? And even as pathetic as that sounds, I am generally diplomatic enough to keep my mouth shut. Though, not always. Yep. Excuses, excuses. Expat thrown in the towel, excuses. Let's hear another one. How about this old standby? I need surgery, or the wife needs surgery, or my kid, or grandkid, or dog, or a third cousin twice removed back in Oklahoma needs surgery. And the doctors down here aren't that great. I need to have it done up in the States. All right, me Johnny here again. You can tell that one's a whopper. Since practically every expat and gringo who's been living down here a while knows, the doctors here are just as good. And the hospitals and clinics and facilities are sometimes even better than the ones you have back in your own hometown. Of course, some of those excuses can be legit. For example, if you're one of those persons who's got a certain condition or disease that affects one in, let's say, 100,000 people, in that case, you probably shouldn't have come down in the first place. But back to the article. Basically, it says when expats throw in the towel, many of them are often not truthful about their reasons why. Worse yet, sometimes, mysteriously, one of the persons in an expat couple who's been down a while will head back to the States for a surgery, a wedding, a funeral, or even a shopping spree, and just never return, leaving the other person in an embarrassing predicament. How do you explain to your expat friends and buddies why your wife, husband, or significant other took a little trip to the States and just never came back? So then what are those real hidden reasons why people leave? Maybe you guess that the overwhelming reason for leaving is discomfort with the language or the culture in general. Simply put, ultimately, for many expats, they simply feel like permanent outsiders. They don't blend in with the local culture, don't speak the language, and thus leads to severe bouts of homesickness and longing for that previous life back in their home country, even though it may not have been all that much fun or satisfactory. The fact is, as much as some gringos and expats complain, they actually miss all that stress and long to get back on that old treadmill again. Can you believe it? Anyway, to that effect, the article goes on to say, here are some representative comments from personal exit interviews with expats who decided to throw in the towel, leave Latin America, and go back to their home countries. Most of those departing expats asked to remain anonymous, so they could be more forthright about their answers. In other words, they don't have to bullshit to save face. Let's start with Mr. J.S. He says, I miss the things I grew up with and have never really felt at home in Ecuador. I miss the way we celebrate Christmas and Halloween and Thanksgiving. I miss my favorite foods and I'm embarrassed to admit it, but I miss going to Walmart. All right, me Johnny here. You know, Mr. J.S., in most other Latin American countries, aside from Ecuador, there are Walmarts. I can't understand why there aren't any Walmarts in Ecuador. Though I have read just recently, they're on their way. They do have plans. So, Mr. J.S., if you just would have been a little patient, if you'd stuck around for a year or so. Anyway, I'm sure you long-time listeners have heard me say this before, but Walmart is Latin America's number one employer, with over 3,000 stores down here. Truth is, though, as for me, I don't go in Walmart much at all. Walking in there, seeing all that junk food, listening to the Boston Pops version of Stairway to Heaven and Hotel California, it's all too depressing. Though I do hit up Costco, which is called Price Mart down here. I do have a membership there. And though I thoroughly dislike Jeff Bezos, he, like Mark Zuckerberg, has a face that's just begging to be slapped. Even so, I order from Amazon. So call me a hypocrite. Guilty as charged. But I digress as usual. Where were we? Oh yeah, unspoken reasons why gringos and expats throw in the towel. All right, here's a comment from an expat, Miss M, who's moving back to the States. She says, I can't learn Spanish, even though I took classes. I'm tired of feeling like a child. Basically, I'm a functional illiterate when it comes to learning languages, and I need to go home to be in a place where I don't feel like a retard. Me, Johnny again. You know, I hear you can't say retard up in the States. Well, you can say it all day long down here. Probably because down here there's so many of them. So many gringos and expats, especially on the tourist trail, who qualify as retards too. But you know the old saying, God must really love morons, fools, and retards. Because he made so many of them. You ever notice that? Like my mother would say, if you have, then you're probably not one of them. She also said, if you get migraines, at least you know you got a brain. Anyway, next we have an exit interview comment from Mr. L, who is escaping Panama. He says, my wife gave me an ultimatum that I would either go back home with her or the marriage was over. I do want to stay. I really like it here, but she's homesick and really wants to go. I chose the marriage over Panama. Though I really hate to leave, she wants out. All right, me Johnny chiming in again. You know, that's a scenario I've seen play out many times. And sometimes one of the two marriage partners decides they're going to stay and the other one does leave and the marriage is over. And sometimes, yes, sometimes, I've seen cases where a marriage is just about over up in the States and they come down to Latin America as expats thinking that will repair it. The idea is by leaving all the old baggage and friends behind, they can hit the reset button and start over. Unfortunately, I've not seen that work yet. They might get another year or two out of it, but starting out fresh in another country never seems to be a permanent cure for a rocky marriage. All right, how about this exit interview from Mr. T? No, not the Mr. T. The original blinged out A-team guy. Our Mr. T is a wimpy expat white guy, Mr. T, and his wife, living in Roatan, Honduras. He says, because of our language problem, we always hang out with other gringos. We go to the restaurants where gringos go and where everyone speaks English, including the help. We go to events that we know other gringos will attend, and I have to admit we're kind of afraid to venture out into the real world, which is one of the reasons we came here in the first place. He says, it's time to be honest with ourselves. We just can't make it work. Now that's a story I've heard at least 100 times. And here's an expat exit interview from Mr. BC. He says, after being in Medellin, Colombia, for 2.5 years, I realized how much I miss my old friends, my poker night, and playing golf with my old foursome, the old routine, really. And our kids have never come to visit us, even though they promised they would. I've heard that story 100 times, too. All right, then we have this gringo exit interview from Miss D. She says, it's not easy to ignore your mother and your kids when they ask you to come home every time you phone them up. What can you say when your 90-year-old mom says she lives in continual fear of you being so far away in the third world, always thinking you're going to get kidnapped, extorted, found in a ditch somewhere, or sucked into a volcano or blown out to sea by a hurricane? And since bad news about the third world is the only kind of news they print in her hometown paper, she thinks, I'm bound to be next. It's only a matter of time. Worse yet, Miss D says, what can you do when you phone up your children and they say they feel like you've abandoned them? All right, it's me again, Johnny. Here's my take on that. I have a 90-something-year-old mother, too. When I was about to leave and I first came down, she had the same concerns. I fixed that soon enough. You know what I did? I shipped her down a few times. I showed her a few fun, cool, and safe places. And now she's got nothing but good to say about Latin America. Though occasionally she still lays that abandonment trip on me. When she does, I just change the subject. All right, how about this expat exit interview from Mr. H.A., also living in and now abandoning Cuenca, Ecuador. He says, truthfully, I simply can't hack it. That's the best way to say it. My wife and I spend most of our time in front of TV watching U.S. programs, which we mostly find boring and some we even hate. That's a sign that you're really stuck in a rut when you're watching a Netflix series, one that you hate, yet you catch all the episodes. We hardly ever go out, even with other gringos. The problem is, I wasn't happy back in Arizona either. I spent too much time complaining when I know I should just shut up. I'm one of those expats you read about in social media, a whining complainer. Though maybe complaining is just my style, I'm just a miserable person, no matter where I live. We all know somebody like that, don't we? Maybe even got one or two of them in your own family. I do. And how about this one? Mr. W says, I've lived in 5 different Latin American countries. I understand the desire to pick up and leave if you're not happy. Some people, like me, are addicted to moving. Always looking for greener pastures. Especially when you hear so many other gringos and expats talking about the advantages of other Latin American cities, towns, and countries. There's always one that's so much better or cheaper, more beautiful or more welcoming than this one or that one. There's always a place that's better than the town or city you're sitting in right now. When you get together with a bunch of gringos and expats, that's the kind of gossip you hear. It's the grass is always greener in another Latin town or city syndrome. He says, after talking to many, many gringos and expats, at least 1 in 4, sometimes 2 out of 4, that's half, pick up and move at least once within the Latin American country they first landed in. So then why do they keep moving around? Why do they keep relocating within the same country? Well, I guess it's a lot better than throwing in the towel and going back to Cleveland or Milwaukee. I've heard all the excuses why they want to leave the city or town they're in right now. It's too hot. It's too cloudy. It's too buggy. Too small. Too big. Too many expats. Too few expats. Too much noise. Too many street vendors. Too polluted. Too muggy. Too many partiers. Too many stray dogs. Too many English speakers. Too few English speakers. Too many backpackers. Too many cheap hostels. Too few cheap hostels. Some gringo expats can be so picky. And some you can never satisfy. That said, here are some exit interview comments from gringos and expats who did not return back to their home country, but relocated within the country they first landed in. For example, Mr. C.O. says, I thought I would like the big city life. I did enjoy the concerts, the restaurants, and all the rest. After 2 years, however, of the chaos and noise, I knew I wanted a slower pace and somewhere to grow a garden. So I moved to a farm 20 miles outside the big city, and it's easy enough to pop in and out if I really need to get a nightlife fix. And here's what Mr. R says, who did the same thing. He says, I lived in Cuenca, Ecuador for a few years. It turned out to be too big for me. I didn't have many expat friends there either because of my alternative lifestyle. So I moved to Vilcabamba. Even though it's more dangerous, I found many kindred spirits here. How about this comment from Miss A? She says, I always thought the perfect expat life was to live on the beach. So I did. After 6 months, I was bored to death. Because I also like going to the symphony art galleries and going to good restaurants. I also need to be around a large and more diverse expat community. So, though sometimes Latin American big cities are a little too congested and chaotic for me, you can find nice, quiet neighborhoods where a couple of blocks away, there's everything else you need. So then what about expats who move to a Latin American country, decide they don't like it all that much, and they move to another Latin American country? In other words, they're not going back to the States, Europe, or Canada. They're bound and determined to make their expat life work out. Even if it takes bouncing around from one Latin American country to another to find the right fit. Take this comment from Mr. J.B., who moved from Ecuador to Panama. He says, not that I didn't like Ecuador. It's just like the locals say. It was papa sin sal, a potato without salt. Too bland, too slow, too boring. I just needed a little more action, a little different scenery, and it helps that I'll be a lot closer to the States in Panama and a lot more easier and cheaper airline connections when I go back to visit my kids. He says, Panama's a central hub for Copa Airlines, and within 2 or 3 hours, you could have a direct flight to almost anywhere in the States. Whereas flights to the States from Ecuador are twice as expensive, twice as long in duration, with lots of connecting flights and wasted time in airports. All right, me, Johnny, here with a comment. Personally, I always thought it was a bad idea to select your Plan B destination based on whether it's got convenient flights back to the U.S. Sometimes I look at it as a plus when it's a little more difficult to get a flight back to the States. It's less tempting that way. And here's an exit interview from Mr. S.A., who also lived in Cuenca, Ecuador, and left for San Miguel Allende, Mexico. He says, I lived in Cuenca 2 years. I liked it well enough, but I like San Miguel, Mexico much better. The expats here have more class and sophistication. They have more money and a better lifestyle. Plus, the fact that bars and restaurants in San Miguel are cleaner, higher class, and have better quality food and booze. The mañana time thing is half of what it is in Ecuador, and they occasionally even have this thing called customer service. Though I admit, gringos have to have money to live here. It's twice as expensive as Ecuador, and the real estate prices are triple or more. Me, Johnny, again. San Miguel Allende. Might as well live in my jammy. And here are some comments from Mr. J.L., who initially had his plan B in Portugal. Why'd he pick Portugal? Because he read so many times in International Living that the Algarve coast of Portugal on the Mediterranean is such a great place to live. He says most of the expats in Portugal are British and German, and they pretty much disdain Americans and almost never accept us in their crowd. So he says, I tried Spain for a year, but found it way too expensive, way too bureaucratic, and just too isolating. So I tried Latin America, first moving to Cuenca, Ecuador, then Panama City. He says, I'm on a budget, and I find that most expat communities you find throughout Latin America are really overpriced tourist towns. And if you head 10 kilometers in any direction, all prices seem to drop 25 or 50%, especially if you speak Spanish. So I've concluded, if you want to live around expats and gringos, higher prices are the tax you have to pay for the privilege. Then there's this comment from perpetual expat Miss W. She says, I visited Arequipa, Peru, and fell in love with it. I moved there. There are almost no gringos here, but I'm sure it'll catch on and be one of the next big things. At first, I lived in a beach town. There's not much to do, and the gringos there were way too gossipy and just a bunch of drunks. If you don't love water sports, beach towns can be boring. Now let's talk about expats who move to Latin America who always seem to be antsy. They always feel somehow, after leaving the first world, that they're missing out. So they try another Latin American country or even a European or Asian country and end up coming back to their original destination, their original Latin American destination. For example, here are some comments from Miss B, who originally came from Chicago down to Cuenca, Ecuador. Thought her and her husband could do better, so they moved on. In the end, feeling they'd made a big mistake, they came back to Ecuador. Here's what she says. My husband and I decided we wanted to try a European experience, not just a South American experience. We love the culture and the pace of life there, or we thought we did. We moved to a little town in Andalusia, southern Spain. We thought we'd found paradise. Unfortunately, we were burglarized twice, and my husband was mugged. We also found Spanish locals secretly and not so secretly hate Americans, and we weren't able to make any friends. Besides that, we didn't realize how bad the economy is in Spain, and that it's getting invaded by African and Middle East immigrants. There's extreme unemployment. It's just not a good situation at all. It's like that all over Europe. It's a disaster. Anyway, she says, we went back to Cuenca, Ecuador. We're happy to be back, though a little worse for wear. And here's some comments from Mr. NC, who also first arrived in Ecuador, and then he didn't like it much. So decided to relocate to Mexico, since that's the destination of 9 out of 10 American expats. He says, I thought I would like San Miguel de Allende, Mexico, but it turned out I really didn't. The place is full of American phonies who want to impress you with their big houses and how much money they have. Most of them appear to be alcoholics as well. I visited there 30 years ago as an art student, and I have to say that the gringos have changed San Miguel for the worse since then. So I counted my blessings and moved back to Ecuador. There are no gringos flashing their Rolexes here. And how about this comment from Mr. E.N., who moved from Guatemala to Colombia and back to Guatemala again. He says, from what I read, I thought Medellin would be more modern and more like the U.S., but after I moved there, I found out it isn't. And besides that, I decided I don't want something like the U.S. anymore. I also found out that Colombia is much more dangerous than Guatemala. The bad guys there are seriously more violent than they are in Guatemala. And what they don't tell you in those glossy magazines about Colombia is there's terrible poverty. You don't hear about it in the media hype. They only show you those gringoized neighborhoods in Medellin that look like Miami. But once you head out of those few nicer neighborhoods, conditions are terrible and people are living in cardboard shacks. So we're back in Guatemala now, where we should have stayed all along. And here's another comment from Mr. R, who also lived in Ecuador, decided he didn't like it, read all the media hype about how cool it is to live in Portugal, and found out it was PR bullshit too. He says, we fell for the big talk about how great Portugal is, and that it's the place to be for gringos and expats and all that. So once we settled in the Algarve area, we found out that the locals didn't like us at all, and that most of the people there are European part-time expats. So for half the year during the winter season, the place just closes down. It's a vacation area, not a place where gringos and expats would find it nice to live all year round. So we came back to Ecuador, our tails between our legs. We should have never left. All right, me Johnny here again. Enough said about that. Pretty self-explanatory, I'd say, except there is something they're not telling you about the expats who are spouting off here. Almost all of these guys whose comments are highlighted here are in their 60s and 70s. And I've always said you could divide expats into three different groups by age. You've got the 20 to 30-somethings, And there really aren't many of those. They're the ones who usually end up working at those helicopter schools as English teachers. They come down here for a year contract or so. They like it so much and they never leave. But there ain't many of those because you have to be of a certain mindset in your 20s to leave the United States and say, hey, I'm ready for a great adventure and I have no money. Wouldn't it be cool to be an English teacher and live just slightly above the poverty level, backpacker style? So that's the expat age group from 20 to 30. They're a lot different than the age group, I'd say, from 30 to 50, who generally have done all right. They've made their mark and made some money. That group decided to throw in the towel because doing business is getting way too hard and they're getting taxed to death. They're the entrepreneurial type and do start businesses once they get down here. They're not the types to sit around on a beach in a hammock and blend in with the scenery. They do things. They get things done. They start businesses. They're risk-taking creative types. Then there's that final group of gringos and expats, delineated by age. That'd be the over 50 or over 55 crowd, mostly retired or nearly retired boomers with a nest egg, who come down as expats just expecting to live out their days in peace and fade into the sunset, active enough but not going full steam. They just want to kick into a lower gear, many of them just wanting to escape the lunacy that's happening up in the first world. They're not looking to change the world or in a rush to start a new business. They just want to come down and live the good life. Nearly all of those comments I read earlier in the show were from expats in that age bracket. Basically from expats in their late 50s, 60s, and 70s. Nothing wrong with that, but as for younger expats, they might have some of the same complaints and concerns. Even so, if they get bored or disappointed, they're quite active, doing business, hanging out, making friends, exploring, trying new things. So basically what I've observed in my 30 plus years down here is that the people who do come down and after a while end up throwing in the towel, going back home, they're almost always the older, more set in their ways expats. It seems the less flexible you are, the more likely you are to throw in the towel. There is a certain type, mostly older guys and gals with a nest egg or receiving some kind of pension. Basically, the younger you come down here as an expat, the more flexible and adaptable you are. That stands to reason. That's why the younger expat crowds have a much better chance of sticking it out permanently down here. And it's mostly the older boomer expats who tend not to roll with the punches. They're often the ones that don't make it past the first 2 or 3 years. They end up going back to Cleveland with their tails between their legs. So is that going to be you? Are you going to be one of those? Hope not. I hate when that happens. But there is always that risk. Just saying.
South of the border. You've been listening to The Expat Files, Living in Latin America. If you need some help with your own Plan B, we can schedule a one-on-one phone or Skype consult. Just send me an email, theexpatfiles@gmail.com. And if you want to get on the waiting list for my next week-long Expat Insider Seminar in Central America, where you're guaranteed to get a 2 to 5 year head start on your Plan B, send me an email, theexpatfiles@gmail.com. Nos vemos.